Hi, welcome to All These Things Podcast. I'm James.
And I'm Artesia.
We're a married couple in our late 20s navigating life in corporate America.
One part auditor.
One part PR professional.
No kids yet, but in the meantime, we enjoy traveling, finding unique events, and plotting our next adventure. On All These Things, we talk about all things relationships, success, culture, wealth, inspiration, and whatever else is top of mind. Listen in and enjoy All These Things Podcast.
Let's start the show.
Hey everybody, welcome to the podcast. Before we get into Be Better, we are going to discuss Beyoncé's visual music album called Lemonade.
Now, when I first heard about this Lemonade thing, I was thinking Gucci Man Lemonade, which was an awesome song, but Beyoncé did come and swoop in like she did with the Super Bowl and just took it to a whole nother place.
I know, so if you haven't heard of this, or if you're one of the few people who haven't watched it yet, it's on HBO and it's being played on HBO, and I think you can also buy it on Tidal. Basically, Beyoncé did a whole hour-long music video that went through the stages of her relationship with Jay-Z from the time that she thought that he was cheating all the way through to them, like, getting through it in their relationship. And the artistry was amazing.
Pause. Her alleged...
No, there's nothing alleged about it alleged. At this point. No,
it's alleged.
Beyoncé confirmed all the rumors.
Wait, okay? When did she confirm this?
She confirmed it. What do you mean, when did she confirm it? That was the video.
Did she ever say, Beyoncé, Knowles Carter, confirm that that man, Sean Carter, cheated on me and was the inspiration for all of these songs?
Yes.
When?
That's what she
Show
said.
Me the receipts. Show me the receipts.
That's what she said, because the whole video was about her getting through this, and then at the point of forgiveness in the video. So basically, when you watch it, there's all the stages. I think it started with intuition, then going into denial, then going into like anger and apathy, forgiveness, redemption. Like, she went through like 11 stages, and in the forgiveness stage, Jay-Z appears in the video, and he appears with his wedding ring, whereas Beyoncé threw that wedding ring out in the anger stage, and by the forgiveness stage, she still hadn't put it back on. So that's how, for me, this is confirmation of all of that. Down to the Twitterverse thinks that it was Rachel Roy is the woman that he cheated with. And funny enough, this is kind of a little bit of a sidebar, but people were like, do not confuse Rachel Ray and Rachel Roy.
That would be hilarious.
Rachel Ray is the cook show host and Rachel Roy is not. And so anyways, Beyoncé does not confirm the who. But she definitely confirms that there was some infidelity happening.
Well, I mean, if it was Rachel Roy, I mean, how messy can you get? Because she's a former spouse of Dame Dash with Jay-Z, of course, partner in Rockefeller. And then she had children with Dame Dash. I mean, this is just such an inside thing. Now, I like Jay-Z. Growing up, it was a big thing, you know, listening to his music. It was kind of him and Biggie, and, you know, we just repped that really hard. But I just think it's really interesting. And I question, would Beyoncé really put all the business out there? As much as I say it's alleged, it does seem like she just put it right there about Jay-Z, about her father. There were several moments talking about daddy did this and that and that. And I was like, okay, you're not talking about a philosophical daddy,
are
you?
Yeah, what she's talking about is the generational trend of men cheating in her family.
Not just cheating. She's talking about cheating, drinking. There was some hints at abuse in there.
Yes. Yeah, like verbal domestic abuse.
Yeah, but... don't say like, yeah, verbal domestic. Like, it's not something serious. That's arguably more serious than cheating.
Well, what she's saying is like, well, the one part, I think the part that you're talking about is when she was like, do you find yourself like looking at the back of your man's head? And then is this your husband or is this your father? And I think to me, I took that as like, she's seen this in several stages of her life. This is the type of house she grew up in where the man, she said it in the video, she said he comes home at 3 a.m. and then he lies, you know? And so, I don't know, it was very clear that, like, this album was about her going through something. And there were several points where it was the anger part, where she was basically like, fuck you, and...
It wasn't basically, that's what she said.
She said, like, fuck you, boy, bye. Like, I'm done. She said, I'm not the average bitch, and you about to lose your wife over this shit. So, I did like that it went through all the different stages. Like I said, intuition about thinking that your man is cheating on you, to the denial phase, to like the realization, to the anger, to the I don't care, I don't give a fuck about this, but then you really do because you're all sad and depressed. So I really appreciated that she went through the whole range of emotion.
There's so many things I could appreciate about this because, and I'll say I'm probably very, very far from the beehive. This...
arguably our household is not far from the beehive.
No. We are far from the beehive.
How many times a day do we reference formation?
When you say we, do you mean you?
No, I mean we.
No.
We quote that song like nobody's business.
Anyways, just because it's catchy.
We digress.
It's catchy. No, true Beehive members knew this came out and watched it immediately.
That's true.
We're far from it. You know, so I'll go back to what I was saying. We're far from the Beehive. But what I appreciate about this, which I didn't appreciate about Formation, is like, okay, so I heard the words and then you saw the video. And I feel like Beyonce always kind of slides into this like, okay, we're going to say something. Something meaningful will be in there, but it's still about me and my trio of girls dancing and shaking and doing it. And you see the same consistent thing throughout. This was not about that. It was about the feeling and about the messages that were in there, and I appreciated that. And whoever her film team was, amazing. Amazing.
Yeah, they did a great job. It was really like watching a movie. It was a movie and watching art at the same time.
You know, she's chasing the Oscar, so she needs to find some way to slide this into somebody's nomination or film festival or something, because artistically, it was great. I mean, there's so many different water scenes and different things like that were just really well done. I felt like I was watching a short film, no joke, and I was entertained. It was good.
Well, if you haven't seen it yet, definitely try to check it out. Again, it's on HBO, and I believe they're having a free preview weekend. And so I know I saw a lot of people on Facebook are taking advantage of the like the free 30 days or whatever. Yes. So if you haven't seen it, that's one way to see it. Again, it's also on Tidal. And I think that she's going to be bringing this to her tour.
Oh, she better be bringing this to the tour.
So there'll be definitely opportunities to catch it. But again, Beyonce's amazing. She's owning herself. You can really tell that she's owning herself now. She's just putting out there whatever she wants, whatever she feels. Okay, well, now let's go straight into Be Better. If you haven't listened to the podcast, Be Better is our segment where James and I give you an actionable tip or trick that you can use to make your life or your work life or your relationship life be better, something that you can actually take with you for this week. So what's your Be Better?
My Be Better this week is be impactful. Now, prior to Mrs. Knowles Carter dropping this thing over the weekend, I was really ready in getting my mind and my spirit and my soul right to talk about Prince. I'm not a fall-down, drag-out Prince fan, but I recognize the artistry and how great he really was. Mm-hmm. So when I was thinking about what a Be Better could be this week is to be impactful, and be impactful such that, not that when you die, somebody misses you. I mean, that's great, and people have, you know, world impact, but just that you've really touched and impacted what's going on. Like, when I heard Prince died, I was almost like, okay, the world shaked and moved a little bit differently, because people kind of got the sense of gravity of this thing is missing, or what type of life he led and the different ways he touched people. And I always find it interesting, even when celebrities, you know Prince the artist, and you know celebrities the artist, but then the celebrities as they are as the person, and how many different relationships he had and how he helped people. So I think to be better for this week is to be impactful. Find a way to be impactful beyond your immediate radius. Find something to do beyond yourself.
Nice. My Be Better this week is follow up with your network. This is something that I'm guilty of, but basically what happens sometimes is you let people fall off. Maybe it's former coworkers, maybe it's friends you haven't talked to in a long time, mm-hmm. but just do your best not to let that happen. And if that has happened, be proactive this week about following up. So make a list of all the people who you've kind of, even if you haven't, you know, reached out to them in a year or 2 years, add them to your list. And reach out to them. Reach out to them via whatever medium makes sense. So if it makes sense to write them an email or to send them a Facebook message, get reconnected with those people, because one of your most important assets is your network. And if you really kind of take the time to list out all the people that you've met that you used to have good relationships with, you can probably restore some of those relationships anyways. So take the time to do that. So my thing is beef up your network, follow up with your friends, former colleagues, current colleagues, anybody that you've lost touch with, be proactive about it.
All right, so from there, let's move into all things success. I saw an interesting story in Forbes, actually. It's by career coach Liz Ryan. She actually does letters, and it's almost like strawberry letter style. And we love talking about careers and work. So if you guys listening ever have a certain situation and you want to get an outside take on it from a neutral party that doesn't know your coworkers, feel free to email us at allthesethingspodcast@gmail.com. We're happy to read them and give you our thoughts on how we might handle it. And usually Artesia and I have a different take. But here's an interesting one. And to be honest, the headline is what caught me. It says, quote unquote, "My coworker threatened to tell our boss I'm job hunting." And at that point, I was like, wait, what?
Yeah. What's the scenario?
So here's the scenario. It says, "Dear Liz, I'm in the middle of a stealth job search. I've had 2 interviews, and I guess one of them went nowhere because I haven't heard anything. but I just got a second interview next week. I have to get out of my current job. It's bad. Mm. A lot of my coworkers are also job hunting. That doesn't sound
That's
great.
That's a bad sign.
Yeah, but none of them, or wait, excuse me, one of them, quote unquote, not a friend of mine, named Patrick, is giving me a hard time. He saw me get into a cab when he was on his lunch break last week, and so he's figured out that I'm job hunting.
How could you figure out, because someone got into a cab, that they're job hunting?
Exactly.
I could be going anywhere, literally.
And Patrick, what are you sure you're going to lunch? Where are you? Where are you going? You're not supposed to be at your desk,
exactly.
Patrick?
Exactly.
So he asked me why I was getting into a cab at lunchtime.
And this is where we've talked about this in a previous episode. We've talked about this where people just need to stay in your lane.
Back up.
Okay?
Just that's mind the
name
your
of
business.
That's the name of the episode, Stay in Your Lane. Where we talked about people who always are trying to be in your mix and they need to
Seriously.
Get out.
Now, this person says, I told him I had a doctor's appointment, but he says he doesn't believe me. How bold is Patrick? Patrick is really, really bold and needs to stay
six steps
back.
Yeah, how are you
going to
tell me you don't believe me? This is where I would stop talking to the person.
Yes.
Because who are you that I had to justify myself to?
I hope at that point you promptly closed the cab door and rolled up the window. But he said that he's going to tell our boss, Marilyn, I'm job hunting.
Do it.
Marilyn is the worst boss I've ever had, and I don't look forward to our conversation if Patrick throws me under the bus. So are you going
to
admit
to... Even more reason to do it, because I hate Marilyn, so do it.
Patrick and I are on the same team. He told me that if I want to keep my secret, I have to do a lot of extra work.
I have no secret. I'm going to the doctor.
The whole situation is childish and ridiculous, but I have to take it seriously because I can't afford to lose my job right now. What should I do? Thanks, Nick.
Okay, so let me tell you this, and I've always said this. I am not one for blackmail. If I ever get the inkling that somebody is trying to blackmail me, my words will be do it. Because whenever somebody tries to blackmail you, they're going to do it anyways. Mm-hmm. Okay?
It's just a matter of time.
It's just a matter of time. So you know what? When someone's, well, I saw you getting into the cab at 1 o'clock, and I don't believe you're going to the doctor's appointment, so I'm going to tell Marilyn that you're going to look for a job. Do it. Like, I don't care. Because, first of all, you have no actual... You don't actually know if what you're saying is the truth. So, that's the first problem on Patrick's side. But second of all, do never let anybody blackmail you. Never.
Now, I agree with your thought there. That's a good way to go. Another way to go is to be very, very direct. And to tell Patrick exactly what's going on and what's up. Which is, Patrick, I don't think it's the wisest choice you could make right now. If you choose to do that... I don't really know what's going to happen.
Oh, now you're threatening.
No,
Jay,
I didn't
always
threaten.
Go to a
that
threat.
Is threat. That was not a threat. That was not a threat.
Listen to what you said. I don't know what's going to happen.
I don't know what's going to happen. What do you... So wait. Somebody threatened you by saying, I don't know what's going to happen. I threatened him by saying I couldn't tell the future. Come on. No. What I'm letting Patrick know in very uncertain terms is there will be repercussions. Except I didn't say that there will be repercussions. I said I don't know what will happen.
Okay.
But Patrick needs to know you need to step back. Don't think that I'm just going to go over this. So I'm not telling you to do it because I'm also not egging you on. That's like you're in a fight. Do it. No, this actually is going to cause more trouble for me if he tells Marilyn. And I have to deal with that. But what I actually would much rather do is for you to understand that that's not the wisest thing for you to do today.
Yeah, don't try to come for me. But what I'm thinking, so the author of the post, Liz... She actually did reply, and one thing that I liked what she says, she actually gave a great response, so people should definitely check out this article that we'll post out on our Twitter. One thing that she said is she's like, if they decide to fire you for looking for another job, then that'd be great for you because you can be on unemployment and then you can actually spend all day looking for a new job.
Yeah.
Because that, if that's the reason why they're firing you, then they can't, you know, they can't just fire you for that without putting you on paid unemployment. So I was like, boom for that, because I didn't know that that was what would happen. But if that's true, and if you could find out before they fire you that that's true, even more reason. Anyways, my advice is you never let anybody at your job threaten you like that, talking about I'm going to tell the boss. When what they said in the letter is everybody in this office is looking for another job. And also, like, you don't know my life, so you don't know why I was getting into a cab.
100%. Unless they have a picture of you walking into another place of employment with a resume in your hand, signed and handing it to a HR representative. which I've actually seen before.
Still, that does not mean I'm looking for a job here, okay? I was giving
a friend a letter.
Right, exactly.
No, but real talk, I've actually seen that happen before and got caught up in some mess between HR and another employee because they did it at a job fair where we were actually promoting our own company.
Okay, well, that was just messy.
It was like, whoa, I stepped right out of that because I'm not in this. Because HR is like, you saw so-and-so. I was like, I saw what?
I saw nothing.
I saw that person. That's what I saw. Yeah. Yes, I saw them in the building. I saw nothing else. And that was
a wise choice. Do not get involved there. Oh my gosh. Okay. So for all things culture, if you watch any daytime TV or if you've been like looking at the Huffington Post or kind of what's going on with ABC, you'll see that the Live with Kelly and Michael show, Michael Strahan, had announced that he's leaving that show in September to go full-time with Good Morning America. And apparently it's an 8-figure deal. And he's been doing part-time on GMA anyway, so it's a natural transition for him, but it's an 8-figure deal. Apparently, Kelly Ripa was not told, and she found out in the press like everybody else. And so the day that it came out, she didn't go to work. And then she didn't go to work the next day. And then ABC confirmed that she won't be here till next week, Tuesday. And this was not a pre-scheduled vacation. This appears that Kelly is pissed.
Kelly, Kelly, Kelly. Well, you know what? I'm not even going to say Kelly, Kelly, Kelly. Not yet. ABC, ABC, yes. Michael, Michael, Michael.
Messy, messy, messy.
So, I saw this, but really you're the one who kind of pointed this stuff out. I was like, this chain of events is starting to get a little bit messy.
Because I love daytime TV and I keep up. I keep up with The View and I keep up.
Whereas I'm like nighttime TV, so I'm getting pumped for Game of Thrones. But with this situation going on right here, I couldn't resist writing about it on onequickpoint.com because this just seems like such a breakdown of communication, and it shows how if you don't do this right, that it can end up in a crisis place. Because now you have Kelly not coming to work repeatedly, and the biggest thing that jumped out to me and led me to think, okay, I need to say something about this, was you had Oprah making comments in the media saying Kelly should not have been blindsided.
And I'm like, Oprah, how did you get involved in this? Like, who asked you for a comment?
So, like, the Matrix fans, Oprah's like the Oracle. Like, you know, like, if Oprah shows up, it's really, really, like, big, and it can get worse. Because she doesn't comment on everything. So, she made a pointed decision to talk about this. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important because if you think about it, okay, Oprah, network television owner. So, she's talking about not only from a co-host perspective, but she's thinking about management, too, and pointing out that this was a messy affair. But also, Oprah's legacy, ABC. So for her to come out and say anything...
Are you sure Oprah was on ABC?
Yes, Oprah was on ABC.
Okay.
So this is a big thing, I think, for her to come out and say. And it just points out that this type of thing really shouldn't be playing out in public. Now, 8 figures is a lot. So I'm going to go ahead and give a clap for Michael.
Yes, he should be moving. And everyone's allowed to, like, change jobs. The only thing that I thought about this, and I was texting you this week, I was like, she's really not coming to work. Like, he really had to say, yes, you know, everybody, you heard the announcement, I'm going to be leaving. He made that announcement by himself. She hasn't come on to say, like, I'm so sad that you're leaving, but now I get to look for a new co-host. And she'll have to come back on Tuesday. And what is that going to be like? I will be recording Tuesday's show because I want to, that is going to be awkward as is going to be awkward.
Yes.
And I can't see how it's not going to be awkward because everybody's going to know, like, you're mad.
Yes. And you heard it here first. One of two things is going to happen.
What?
That Michael is going to leave for that show early or he's not going to leave.
Oh, he's leaving. I don't think Michael's going to leave eight figures on the table to stay at a show where my co-host is now mad at me.
Well, then he's going to leave early. There is no way between now and September they're going to have a regularly scheduled program with that going on. With him sitting there every day. It can't happen. It looks too weird now. And I don't think that they're fake enough to go on TV and make it look like there's not a problem.
But apparently, Michael Strahan is close friends with Kelly Ripa and her husband, Mike Consuelos. And so, like, I think that they were really pushing for him to get the job in the first place. So she feels like a little bit betrayed that as a friend, you didn't come to me first. When he might have been trying to make a business decision, like maybe somebody in the above him told him, like, don't talk about this, like, don't make it public. And maybe he was just, like, listening to that and maybe didn't realize how mad she'd be. But she probably feels like, I deserve to know before the public.
Or, now this is the third or, because I was just like, all right, if somebody told him not to say it and he didn't say it, there had to be a reason. they had to say that maybe she was going to pop off or there was something negative. She's going to kill the deal. Because as much as people are friends, we know that there are some people out there that are blocking you for their gain. If she's like, my show is working, maybe she would have tried to block him so he didn't leave. Mm-hmm. The or is he made that deal and they decided to go and push this out in the news or it was going to leak. So they announced it prior to telling everybody they needed to tell. So maybe she really wasn't meant to be blindsided, but it ended up happening, and now they have to do the patchwork. But this whole, I'm taking a week off of work because of this, she's mad, and she's punishing them.
Yeah, to me, I'm like, you are really, really successful. You could have walked out there and been like, bye, Michael, enjoy. Like, I'm, no,
and that's what I said, know, this like, is punishment. I feel
like she could have spun that as like...
She didn't have to.
No, but I'm saying, I think she could have spun this pot more positively and been like, yep, Michael's going to be gone in September and we will miss him, but I am looking for a new co-host, so...
No, she's angry. What did Beyonce just finish doing?
I know she's angry.
Beyonce just finished doing a whole hour, 40 minutes of which was airing business that she didn't have to air, that she already got to forgiveness and redemption and all that stuff, so she didn't have to, but she did. Kelly's punishing them.
And it all comes back to Beyonce, doesn't it?
It could. If you wanted to, you could make almost anything.
Almost anything could come back to Beyonce. Okay. Well, there's another thing that we wanted to talk about in All Things Culture. And this is a woman's opinion, and I want to get our opinion on her opinion, okay?
All right.
So she says this. I offer my sincere congratulations to the Pennsylvania couple who were the sole winners of a $25 million lottery. But I must say I am disappointed in the lucky lady's choice to keep her job. In these days of needed welfare reform and high unemployment, I think she should resign and make room for someone who really needs a job. If the 69-year-old winner is afraid of staying home and becoming bored, there is plenty of community work she could do. She could volunteer for Meals on Wheels and deliver food to the sick and shut-in or visit residents in nursing homes.
You see,
signed, Ruth.
Dear Ruth, your problem started from the minute you said I and think, and it didn't involve anything about your life. So let's just start there. You talking about a lottery winner and what they should
and what they should do.
No, what you need to do is focus on how you're going to make some more money and not spend time doing this, Ruth, because while you're doing that, they're waiting on their check. And they really don't care what you have to say, Ruth. They really don't.
I thought it was hilarious because I'm like, who are you to make this kind of comment about what somebody should do? And if they shouldn't work to make space for someone else who should work. It's like, what? Like, you don't get a say in what this person does. Before they won the lottery, they were working, okay? They might want to keep working. I wouldn't. Okay? This is not me. But what I'm saying is people have the option of what they want to do with their life. And I think it's funny how specific she was. She was like, you can work for Meals on Wheels or do nursing homes.
Well, thank you for all the...
Thank you for my
plethora of options, Ruth. You know what I have to say to you, Ruth? La, la, la. Wait till I get my money right. Because you will tell me nothing, Ruth. You will tell me nothing. You could barely tell me anything today. You will tell me nothing when I have my money right.
Yeah.
You know what, Ruth? You know whose job I'm coming for? Yours. Done.
I would argue that some of these internet trolls like do not have jobs. And that's the thing. Everybody now is a critic. I mean, even we are critical on things. And I think that it's funny. Somebody wins a lottery and immediately somebody else is like right here ready to say you shouldn't be doing this or you should be doing this. Oh, one thing to that point about, you know, internet trolls and people just putting their opinions out there. Let me show you this, which I saw on Instagram. Cynthia Erivo posted this just today. She posted a screenshot of what somebody wrote under her on her page.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? This is the troll. At Cynthia, what you did at the Color Purple play last night was wrong on all levels. I saw you and the other cast members go out the other theater door so you won't take pics and sign autographs with us. Humble yourself. We paid good money for those seats, but you couldn't take a couple of minutes out of your time to thank us and take pics? I bet you didn't run when you received that check in your account, so don't run from us when we want a pic and an autograph.
Wow. I believe our dear friend Drake had a quote that's appropriate here.
What?
Know yourself, know your worth. She knows herself and her worth, and you paid for tickets to sit in that auditorium and see the play, which she did. You didn't pay for pictures outside. You didn't pay for her to come and shake your hand.
Oh,
she has a right and a privilege and an ability to walk out of another door. She did. I'm so angry.
The irony of this story, we're going to guess what this troll's handle is on Instagram. God is my salvation and comfort.
No, he's not, apparently. Apparently, your salvation and comfort is getting pictures with Broadway stars, and that's why you're so heated.
So this is Cynthia's reply. She says, she God is... said, God don't she like said, ugly. I know, right? Keep it short and simple. But what she said is, at God is my comfort and salvation, decided that I had no right to go home after singing two shows yesterday. What this person doesn't realize is that even when I left, I still took pictures and signed. I left yesterday with a half a voice. My job is to tell you a story. The extra bonus is getting to meet everyone after. To leave this on my page after watching me do my work is hurtful. Also, my running is the reason I can do this show 8 times a week. I hope your anger is eased somewhat by the knowledge that I pour my whole soul on that stage and leave it there for everyone to have. I'm sorry and sad that on a night when I really needed to go home, that might not be enough. God bless.
You know, she's great. Once again, the show was great when we saw it. It was amazing. Mm-hmm. I actually had a former coworker tell me something very interesting. She said, because, you know, I was writing an email and I was correcting it. We're PR people, so we write it, we edit it, we rewrite it, we read it out loud, we ask somebody if they think it sounds right. And I'm reading this email, and I was late doing something. And in the email, I was like, oh, I'm sorry, apologies for... And she said, take that out. And I was like, but it's late. And she's like, no, take it out. Somebody was telling me that, like, you know, if you regularly end up apologizing for something, at a certain point, you're just sorry. That's all that ends up being the consistent mm-hmm. theme. And I took that and I learned that, and it still is with me sometimes, because I do occasionally, oh, I'm sorry about this, or I wish it was that. And sometimes things are not your fault, or it's not something to apologize for. And I think it's empowering in a certain way. So while she chose to respond to this person, I almost wish she didn't apologize for it, because you don't need to apologize for it. You gave an explanation, which is more than what you had to do. So in that, you didn't have to apologize for anything.
Yeah, she definitely doesn't need to. She was right to say that it's a bonus if you see the stars come out after the show, and if you get an autograph or a picture or whatever. But your $159 ticket did not include a picture and a signed autograph. So that just is what it is. But internet trolls are just the worst. Like, you know, obviously she doesn't have a PR person necessarily, like, doing her account. She obviously checks it herself and saw that going home.
Hey, Cynthia, and if you listen like, and you need one.
And it's just like she said, it's sad and hurtful that after I, like, worked really hard all day, this is the shit you want to put on my page. It's messed up. But anyways, everybody has their opinions, from the lottery to what people should do after Broadway shows, shoot, to how everybody's going to have an opinion on Lemonade. Again, it all comes back to Beyonce.
It's okay. So, that one didn't have to come back to Beyonce.
It all comes back to Beyonce.
That one didn't have to.
Okay, so now we'll go into all things relationships. So this is going to be kind of interesting, because we want to talk about a book that we went through. The book is called All About Us, and it's by Philip Keel. And it's basically a book that you do as a couple, and you fill in answers, short answers to different questions. In the book, he goes through a whole bunch of stuff, from how you feel about your relationship, characteristics that the other person has, what your preferences are, who you were before your relationship got started, different things about intimacy, different things about, like, facing your past, facing your choices. And it's really kind of, when we went through it, it was fun to go through, but also insightful, you know, because you have start to have a real conversation.
And I just say this, if you decide to do it, which it was a great exercise for us to do and go through, wait until you're about a year or more into your relationship, because that's when you really start to have, I think, a broader perspective on what's going on. Because when we did this, we were probably about 2 years in, mm-hmm. and by that point, we weren't officially living together, but we were pretty much living together. Like, we're spending a lot of time. So I think some of the things that we were able to put in there, we were just starting to not just learn who this person is, you know, in our relationship, but who is this person, like, now that I see so much more of them on the, like, day-to-day. So I see you when you wake up, and I see how you are in the living room, and I think that was the fun part about this.
Yep. So we did this when we were at our 2-year mark, which was in the beginning of 2013. So it's been over 3 years, and we, you know, just wanted to go back to some of these. Let's see if you remember the answer to a couple of these questions.
All right, I'm ready.
Okay, so here's the one that I pulled out. 3 years ago, how did we answer this question, and how does it differ now, if it does?
Okay.
So the question was, describe how you see your partner 10 years from now. What did you say?
I need a hint. In which way?
No?
Was it professional? Was it personal? Was it...
It was however you answered it. Oh, and man. Then answer it now. describe how you see your partner 10 years from now. It's only one line, so...
Okay, so I wasn't that
detailed. For the record, this book is very easy to get through. You know, it's checking boxes, it's kind of one-word answer, one-line answer stuff. So it's really fun and quick to go through.
All right, so I have to not only think about it and how I see you from 10 years, but how I would have answered this at that time.
Right.
Okay, so 10 years from now, I probably said something like, something very non-committal. I see you married, very successful, pursuing your dreams.
And what would you say now, 10 years from now for me?
10 years from now, I see you with 5 kids, probably living out your reality TV dream.
Ooh. What reality TV show is that?
I don't know.
We'll see. No, so what you said was, for me, you said 10 years from now you see me happy and that I would have figured out my life.
Okay. See, I agree. See, I
knew. Which makes me think.
Nice and non-committal.
I was happy in 2013. And no, I don't think I had my life figured out. I still think I'm trying to answer some questions about that. But and the thing that I said about you, I said you would be a successful owner of a business and that you would be on the board of several things. And that you would be making multiple hundreds of dollars. Hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Oh, it was like hundreds of dollars. What?
Multiple hundreds of thousands of dollars.
All right. And how would you answer that today?
Actually, I see kind of the same. Like,
can
so,
we say multiple hundreds of millions?
Yes, let's just up it a little bit. Multiple hundreds of millions. But yeah, I mean, I see that as the same. So I guess I was spot on.
Mm.
Did you have one that you flagged?
Yes. And mine is more fun.
Okay.
Here we go. So mine said, what are 3 things you wish your partner would never do again? 3 things you wish your partner would never do again.
So something I said back in 2013 that I wish that you would never do again.
Yes. Well, to be fair.
Can I get a hint?
No, I'll think about appropriate hint, but just to be clear, you only gave me 2. You didn't give me 3.
Okay, so there's only 2.
There's 2.
You don't bother me that much.
Oh, thank you. Unfortunately, I don't think that's true, but thank you for saying it. Okay, no, I mean, it's hard to give you hints for this. It's related to stuff, like, just think about, since I don't bother you that much, think about what bothers you.
Oh.
All right.
You might have to tell me.
So, the first thing was not throwing technology tantrums.
Oh my god, yes. Look. But you don't do that anymore. But when we first started dating, James, like the first, like I would see you and you would legitimately stomp away when like something wasn't working or that you needed something from technology. You would stomp like a child. And I was like, what?
No, I never stomped like a child.
Yes,
I stomped
like a child.
But I stomped like a man. Not like a child.
What's the second one?
The second one was, you never eat when the food is hot.
Oh my god, you still don't do that. Okay, I knew what I was talking about.
No.
Because you still don't do that. Just, that is one of my biggest pet peeves about you, and I love you, and we're married, it's great. Mm. But like, whenever I cook, which is not that often, so when I cook, you always end up taking forever to get a beverage, taking forever to come sit outside. I'm like, the food is now cold.
Look. I need to get myself situated, and to be honest, if you want to solve this problem, only you can prevent forest fires.
No, you.
Okay? So the way you prevent the forest fire is you provide full service. So, ladies and gentlemen, all the people who are listening, when she says, oh, I don't eat when the food is hot, is because she makes the food and she's like, I'm done. So, I have to go and put the food on a plate, and then I have to make something to drink. I have to get, you know, I have to get myself situated. So,
and that has to take 10 minutes?
It doesn't have to take 10 minutes. It could take no minutes if I just sit and you say, oh, the food is ready. Here is your plate. Here is your drink.
Well, we'll work on it.
There we go.
Well, what did you say back in the day?
All right. So I said about you, the first one I said was, you always put a full plate of food in the sink.
That's not true.
That is true. It has gotten.
But it's different because we don't have a garbage disposal.
Okay.
I grew up with a garbage disposal, so.
Okay. And what happened to my garbage disposal when you started putting full plates of food in the sink?
A shot glass got in there and broke it.
Yeah. And you know what?
That has nothing to do with food.
James never puts anything in his sink that's not
a shot glass. Nobody knew it was in there.
Also, the second thing I wish you would never do again is tell me how to drive.
I've gotten better at that.
You've gotten better at it, but you still are very much like, slow down, watch your speed, look this car over here. Oh, did you see them? Like,
yeah, there's a person in the road, person.
Oh, man. You know what?
These are all endearing qualities.
Is endearing? No. Endearing? No. Not at all. Not at all.
Well, anyways, I think this is kind of fun to flip through. I think that we should do this again maybe on our anniversary this year or something. We can, like, go through the questions again and see how it's changed and what stayed the same. But we definitely recommend couples going through this. Like I said, it's a fun, insightful, very quick to go through. I think that we would just, like, spend, like, 20 minutes at night going through some questions whenever we felt like it. And it made us kind of talk about different stories. Made us talk about what we like about each other, what could be improved. What are your thoughts on it?
Oh, I think it's a great book. I think it helped me kind of process some things, because I think you don't always think about your relationship outside of there being a problem and you're like, oh, what's going on here? I don't think you think about it outside of that. So I think this was a fun way to kind of think about yourself, the other person, and then also kind of compare. This is very much like the Newlyweds Game.
Yeah, it gives you like a lot of prompts and a lot of things to discuss that you might not otherwise think about.
Yeah. But like I said, be a year or two in your relationship so you have some good stories, but also so that you know your relationship can withstand the book.
Yeah, actually, that's one of the questions. It's like, do you think that you'll be together by the time you answer all these questions?
Yes.
And the answer should be yes if you're in any kind of stable relationship.
And you should have to think about that answer.
Right. Well, everybody, thanks for listening to All These Things Podcast. If you have any comments on our stories for today, definitely leave us a comment on Facebook at All These Things Podcast. And you can email us at allthesethingspodcast@gmail.com. We are now on Instagram and Twitter at _allthesethings.
Yes, follow, follow, follow.
Follow us and share the podcast with your friends.
And that's it.
And that's it.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye.